Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the new Mara Pros Network, where we work to motivate, elevate, and inspire. I'm your host, author Mara Pros, with my dynamic co-host, Nikki W.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. And another shout out to Nikki's brother for that dynamic intro that he created specifically for us. That's talent there. So thank you so much again, Brandon. We really do appreciate that. Today we have several announcements. First and foremost, if you're tuned in right now, we're going to do Hot Topics at around 9:40. The Hot Topic today that's already generating a lot of discussions and some heated comments getting down into the collar of men is, should a man still date when he is broke and struggling? We'll talk about that at the end of the show. And our special guest today is Rolando Voice. I'll be introducing him shortly. So one of the things that I know you noticed, there's a new call-in number. There's a new URL. Yes, Mara Pros has branched off. We are so eternally grateful to Valerie Denise Jones, Philo the Great, 4E Media Group for the platform that they gave us. We would not be here with our own platform if it were not for them. So I want to say that first, that you know, we're very appreciative, but it was a creative decision because Mara Pros is and will be a brand. And everything that I do needs to have Mara Pros stamped on it. So it made sense with the book coming out and book two shortly following behind that and starting to roll with all my books. I want to promote Mara Pros. So we have our own network. Nikki and I have some great ideas for the show going forward. We're going to be doing a lot of different things. So please stay with us. You're going to have a great time. We're going to have a great time. It's going to be a wonderful show. And then don't forget March 10th, my book, The Davenports, A Battle of Wills, officially drops. Now, in the beginning, it's going to be specially published through my app. You will only be able to get it through my app, so you will need to download my app to get the book. And we're working on going on into Amazon and iTunes. The app is not in the App Store right now. You will need to go to m.marapros.blog. That's M as in Mary, .marapros.blog. Get the free app. You'll be able to purchase the book from there. We will eventually have, shortly after, we'll have the book in paperback, hardback. In the beginning, though, it's going to be all about going to the app and purchasing the book from there. So if you're not an ebook reader, don't worry. I got you covered. It's coming. But in the beginning, it's going to be an ebook, and it is, I'm doing it special. So I think it's going to be great. Now this next one is announcement is kind of bittersweet. For the past 6 years, I have been known to do what's called Mara Pros Monday. And that has been when I have released my blog. I will be doing less blogging now with the books coming out. You know, I have two other authors that I'm promoting this year. I have three books I'm trying to drop this year myself. There's just not a lot of time to blog anymore, unfortunately. And so the idea that I have is that the blog will be, if I am not able to blog, we'll replay the radio show from today on Monday and let people listen to the show and promote that. And going forward, I am going to be doing more videos, Facebook Live, Instagram. I'm still trying to get in the comfort zone of being in front of the camera and talking to people. So I'm slowly getting into that. But yes, definitely will be more of a vlog going forward. What do you think, Nikki?
That's exciting. Plus, it you know, like you said, it takes you out of your comfort zone. We're so used to talking to people over the phone, and, you know, they don't know what you look like a lot of times. And to put that video out there to keep people updated on what's going on, and then eventually, you know, branch off into having everyone on lives and we can have discussions. So I think it's great.
I agree. I think it's great, too. I think it's going to be really, really good just for the direction that we're going in, especially with the radio show and everything. It just kind of just made more sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Okay. So now I am going to introduce our special guest. He has been my friend for over 20 years. It's funny. Nikki, remember when I left Marshall's, and I went to Red Lobster, and I was a hostess. That's where I met Rolando. He was a server. I was a hostess.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, me and my mom and sister, I would babysit his kids, Tori and Lil Rolly. Oh, my God. They were so adorable. And we just used to, like, just kind of fight over, no, it's my turn to hold him. It's my turn to hold him. So, you know, that's where our friendship started. And then lost touch. I got married. He went his way, and, you know, I moved on or whatever. And then one night I was up late, and it was way after the fact, Trapped in the Closet was on BET. And I was like, oh, you know what? I haven't watched these. Let me watch these and see what all the noise and was about, what everybody was talking about. Right, Nikki?
Mm-hmm.
So then when I saw the main character, Rufus, I was like, that looks like Rolando. Oh, my God. So then I end up really, because I was going to actually go to sleep, but I end up watching it to the end credits, and I was like, that is him. Oh, my God. I was so excited. I got on Facebook and reconnected with him. You know, I think it's really cool that, you know, he's well known for that. That's like everybody recognizes him for that. But his wife in the movie, Nikki, they ended up getting married in real life, and they have two beautiful little girls. And she's an actress, too. So you have two talents, you know, double talents. And then two double talents in the house. But, you know, he's also starred in shows such as Prison Break, Ray Donovan, and the movie Lights Out, that horror movie. Now, you know how I am about horror movies. I did not watch the whole thing. I only watched Rose Parts for support. And I'm like, okay, I supported it. I can't watch the And not only in movies, but he's also in theater. He has done a lot of hit plays. So, you know, it's a dual talent here. I'm so honored that he agreed to be on our show. So let me just welcome the phenomenal Rolando Boyce and let him speak about himself. Hey, Ro.
Hey. Hey, how you doing?
How are
welcome.
You?
I'm good. Wow, I was listening to all that. I said, wow, I did all that. That's all right. That sounds good. Forget sometimes.
It's different when someone else lays it out for you, you know?
I know. Shoot.
Yeah.
Walking on puddles or something.
And it's been difficult getting it out of Ro. You're so humble, you know? And it's just like, okay, here, one picture is going to be enough, right? Go to IMDb. I mean, you are not all about, like, you are a superstar, but you don't even act like it. You're a superstar to me, okay? So you don't even act like it. It's just, I was like, okay, Ro, I'm trying to get information out of you for the show.
I don't know. I'm just like, tell them we're friends. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
That's exactly what he said. I said, do you want me to announce something special? And he's like, yeah, tell them we're friends. I was like, okay. So, yeah, I definitely had to tell him about our Red Lobster history and us always babysitting the kids. I mean, Nikki, it would get so serious. Like, he had another friend up there that would offer to babysit the kids. And I would be like, no, I'm taking them.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, you just don't know. That was such a blessing.
Well, my family still loves you. Mom says, tell you hello. She's probably listening in right now. We're all so proud of you.
Hi, Mom. How you doing?
So, Ro, tell us how you got started in acting.
I think I had little glimpses throughout my life. I was trying to. I had a feeling that would be a question of the act, but I think I had a couple of glimpses through my life of times where I was exposed to something, maybe a performance in school. I did take drama class in high school, but I think that was just basically trying to pick an easy course to get through school. But I did enjoy it, even in elementary school doing little performances. But I always felt like it was something that came natural to me, even, you know, being a jokester or whatever in school. And but I think, you know, growing up, I didn't have anyone around me who was an actor or a performer. The only performer, especially that looked like me, that I could relate to was Sidney Poitier, which who I loved. But I don't think it was until like maybe my early 20s when, you know, Denzel hit the screen, where it was someone I could look at and be like, oh, wow, okay, I think I could do that. I really think I could do that. But it didn't happen until, as you were speaking about the time that I was in Houston and I moved back to Chicago, where I'm from, with my older kids, Ro and Tori. And when I moved back to Chicago, I was still waiting tables, you know, trying to be the dad and single dad and trying to make things happen. And I met a waitress there who was pursuing a career in acting. And I was like, oh, wow. I think that was the first time I met someone who was, you know, doing that. And I said, oh, wow, you know, I always thought about doing that. And she said, you should do it. I said, I should. She said, yeah. I said, well, how do I do that? She said, well, you know, just, you know, take some classes and, you know, watch some plays, learn, get you some pictures, learn some monologues, and start auditioning. I said, that's it? Well, yeah, that's the start. And I was like, well, shoot, I could do that. And that's how I got started. That was, back in maybe like 2005, 2006, and once I caught the bug, I remember being really nervous, you know, at the beginning, you know, just auditioning, and I remember my first audition, I think I was just, I felt like I was going to vomit, and my knees were just banging, but once I got done, I was like, oh, okay, I think I could do it again. So, it was a wonderful experience. I really treasure the fact that I started in the theater because a lot of the actors who I admire, you know, had their start in the theater. So I figured that mm-hmm. was going to be the way I wanted to start. And it's rooted in me. I think it prepares me for now when I'm, you know, doing film and television that, you know, I can come in with my own background story. And my, you know, I don't really need much to get me going and get me. I think I'm making this a long answer, but sorry. But that hopefully that answers.
No, it's all about you. We're enjoying it. Now keep talking. Yeah, no, we want to hear all about it. And now my sister reminded me. She said how your connection to R. Kelly was is that y'all went to high school together.
Yeah, we did go to the same high school. My sophomore year in high school, I think may have been his senior year in high school. And it was a really Kenwood Academy. Anyone listening from Chicago that would know Kenwood Academy. And I knew of him. We didn't really know each other because, you know, sophomore, senior, that's like, you know, dimensions apart. But he used to do a lot of, when they would have what do you call those things, like talent shows, you know, and everyone mm-hmm. knew he would steal the talent show. So he was just very good in that. And then when we met on the set in the closet, he was like, I know you. You know, he just remembered that he knew me from somewhere. He thought that we played basketball together, but of course I did not play any basketball together with him. But it was from high school, and you know, it was really cool. I will say that, you know, from day one, I think I was pretty, you know, he was on another level. So I think day one I was just like, oh man, how is he gonna be? You know, am I gonna have to? Mm-hmm. You know, is he going to come in here with all kind of airs? But he just came in just like a, you know, regular guy. I mean, sometimes I think me and my wife, we have to remind ourselves, you know, that he was, like sometimes we'll be rehearsing and he'll start singing through the parts and be like, man, you know, you can sing really good. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're R. Kelly. That's right. I forgot. That's why you can sing really good. So it was just like, you know, you almost forgot that he had that gift.
So he's very humble like you, Ro, where, you know, you have to drag out the talent.
Yeah, I mean, you just, you know, people are people, regardless of who you are. I mean, I've worked with quite a few different stars, but, you know, at the end of the day, we're all just people. And I think, you know, there's a couple of little glimpses when we were doing Trapped in the Closet where, you know, we'll be, you know, joking around, and the next thing you know, his entourage and somebody will come whispering, and say, oh, that's right, you're on another level. I don't have anybody entourage. People whispering in my ear, so it was just, you know.
Hey, not yet. Not yet. Funny. He will.
Yeah, well.
He does now more. I mean, because he's been able to, he's met Betty White before. Yes, I remember things that you tell me, thankfully, Ro. I'm so glad I have a good memory about, like, what you're in and what you're doing.
You know,
I couldn't get anything out of you.
I did do, when Betty White had a show. Maybe about 5 years ago, and I booked a role on her show, and my scene was going to be with her. And usually, when I work with a celebrity, I don't get nervous because, again, I just feel like it's regular people. And for some reason, before I was, you know, it was Betty White. She'd been in the business 50 years. I was like, make sure that you're on. You got to be on your stuff. You got to be ready. So when they drove me up to, you know, the little house where we were doing the scene, and it was like, okay, well, let's rehearse the scene. And I was coming to her door, knocked on the door. She opened the door, and she was just like, wait a minute, what am I supposed to say again? I said, oh, Betty White, you're just like me. You forgot your line, too. So, you know, again, you got to remember, everybody is still human. Yeah, that was a funny story. She was very sweet, man. She was, talk about being just the sweetest person. She was really sweet.
That's what I heard. And you know, we read her book, right, Nikki? Her biography in the book.
No,
club.
I don't think so.
Oh, Nikki. Mm-mm. Oh, I thought we.
No,
did. I know I read it.
We picked somebody else.
Okay, well, I know I read it. So it was me learning about her. And, you know, that thing, she has been in the industry for so long and on so many major shows. It's amazing. But anyway, this is about Ro. So back to you, Ro.
Yeah.
Okay? We're not promoting Betty White. We're promoting Ro.
Right.
All right. So tell us what you can about your upcoming things. I know you were in Vancouver shooting a movie. I mean, you're always doing something different. So just catch us up, bro.
Okay. Well, over the holiday season, I did have a Geico commercial that was running. That was pretty cool. It was
on
a ladder.
You were on a ladder and talked to a guy across the street.
Yeah.
We saw you.
That was really fun, and you know, a lot of people, you know, it was pretty funny. I mean, Geico, they do really good commercials. So I did that. That was actually shot that maybe in the summer, but it didn't air until the holiday season. I have my wife and I, you know, a few times that we can work together, but we actually booked an episode of it's a kid's show on Nickelodeon called Henry Danger. And we booked the episode of that. I think that's going to be airing probably within the next month or two. And we, you know, playing a couple on there. So that that's fun. I mean, especially for the kids.
Yeah.
Let's see. I was, like you said, I was in Vancouver shooting a film called A Dog's Way Home with, Ashley Judd, and a great cast, really good, great cast. I was playing a military vet, disabled military vet, actually. But it's a wonderful story. I think they did, the same producers, I believe, did a movie called Dogs, oh gosh, no, I don't, no, I can't. A Dog's Purpose, maybe about a year ago, A Dog's Purpose, and now they did this film called it, but A Dog's Purpose.
Yeah,
yeah. It was,
I remember
so it was
that.
Really, yeah, really nice. The director was really, really cool. This guy named Charles Michael Smith, I believe. If you saw him, he was very, you know, he's an actor, so he's a director who was an actor, and he was in a lot of movies like The Untouchables and things like that. So he was really cool to work with. Ashley Judd was really cool. So that's coming out sometime this year. They haven't set a release date yet. And let's see, I also shot, last year shot a new HBO series with Amy Adams, Lois Lane from like all the Superman movies and all that stuff. But a TV show on HBO called Sharp Objects. And I think that has a release date of maybe July or something like that. It's like an 8-episode series. And I'm in the first episode scene with Amy Adams. So that's, I think, sometime over the summer that's going to be airing. And and then I have an upcoming role, a top of show guest star on a pretty popular show on ABC. I just can't announce it yet, but probably maybe in the next week or two I can come back and I can give you an announcement and let you know, but it should be really good.
Great.
Wow.
How much you're doing, Ro. I mean, you see he's doing, Nick, and he does not really promote himself or anything. I was like, you know what? I should be your publicist because I was tagging HBO, Cinemax, Showtime, and I'm like, who else can I tag on this so they can see his picture?
Come on now. That's what I'm talking about. Shoot.
Mar, you have so much. She does so much. She can add that to her resume. Go ahead and put that down on your
screen. Telling you. Yeah. That's a talent.
That's a
Rolando
boy. Yeah.
Well, you know, I know Nikki always tries to tell me because I do all my own marketing for Mar Pros and stuff. And I just get these ideas. They come to me. It's something like you say with acting. It's something that comes natural. But it's not something that I ever thought I would really go into. You know, I never saw myself having a radio show. My writing was kind of more like, okay, personal writing in my journal. Never thought, hey, I'm going to be writing a book or anything else. So, you know, my catalyst, of course, for everything. I mean, I've been writing and had the blog, but my catalyst that really pushed me was pretty much my divorce. And I think that just kind of set in motion this whole journey to Mara Pros that I'm on. And it, at first it was very rough, but now things are just taking off so fast I can't catch up.
And I applaud you for that. I mean, big congratulations. I mean, that's, you know, I think that for everyone, you know, if there's anyone that has a desire to do anything, you know, you just gotta do it. You know, sometimes people ask me for, you know, any tips for, you know, for acting and things like that. And it's just get started. Just do something. You know, I try to, there was a clip by Don Cheadle, who I, you know, really admire as an actor, as a person. And he, I'm not sure if you ever saw it, but so he said that, you know, sometimes people come up to him and say, you know, wow, you know, I would love to, you know, to do what you do. I mean, how can I do that? And he said, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to be an actor or do you want to be a star? Because if you want to be an actor, just, you know, are you reading any plays? Are you taking any classes? what are you doing? Because you can be an actor. It's nothing, you know, can be an actor. You say, but if you want to be a star, you're hoping that, let me walk down the street, someone recognize me, and I'm on a big movie. He said, two things are going to probably happen. One, you'll get in there, and they'll probably see that you don't have anything to support yourself, that you don't have anything going, that can really show for yourself, and it probably won't last. He said, but if you want to be an actor, just get together, read a play with someone, and I think that's one of the reasons what it really motivates me, because I still like to audition, I still like to read a play, I still love doing plays. It's tough to do theater, especially here in Los Angeles, because a play can take up, possibly, a month to 2 months, maybe even more of your time and commitment, but, what happens if you book a movie or you book a show where you have to leave, then what are you going to do, and you already made this commitment.
Right.
So I think that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't do theater. But if a great play comes my way and I'm able to do it, I would definitely jump on it, because it feeds you. It just keeps you, and it sharpens your tools. It sharpens your gift.
Right. Yeah. Because there's no retakes when you're in theater, so it's like you're live and every night.
Yeah.
So I can imagine you've got to be more.
I applaud those
for
people.
Theater. I do too. I think it's amazing that you can do both, and that they just come so natural to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, I got my start. I mean, I've done. I started in Chicago. There's a theater. It was a theater called ETA, Creative Arts, on the South Side of Chicago, and got my start there, as well as like a Black Ensemble Theater, and kind of just I started really at the bottom, I'm not trying to discredit those theaters being the bottom. It's just that I started with a neighborhood theater and other theaters came up but I did have a goal in Chicago that one of the biggest theater houses in Chicago is the Goodman Theater and the Steppenwolf Theater, and I did have a goal that I wanted to one day be on the stage at the Goodman. I remember seeing August Wilson's Jitney at Goodman, and I was just blown away when I saw that play. I was like, this play is phenomenal. If you've never seen it, you're not familiar with August Wilson, but it was just and actually
oh yeah
done the play.
I love August
I've done
Wilson.
The play now, but
really
I thought I was just like yeah but like I gotta be on that stage, and I got my opportunity, I think, and now I can't even remember, but maybe it was around 2001 or 2002, and was able to do a play called Lobby Hero at the Goodman Theater downtown, and it was a wonderful play, wonderful performance, and actually made my way back. Right before I left Chicago, I did another play at the Goodman Theater called Dreams of Sarah Breedlove with Regina Taylor, was the writer and director, a wonderful actress and director, and that was the last play I did before I left. In fact, I was supposed to already leave Chicago and come to L.A., and I booked that play, so I was like, okay, I'm going to finish the play. The play ended on Sunday. On Monday, I was on a plane headed to Chicago. Headed to Los Angeles.
Wow.
So
wow,
I left on a high note.
Yeah. See, I mean, you see, that's what I'm saying. You so quietly do all this stuff. I mean, we'll get one post from you, and on Facebook, and then we don't hear anything else. And then pop up. We had no idea. We were sitting there, and it was Thanksgiving, and my mom goes, "Hey, isn't that Ro?" I said, "It sure is. Look at him." And it was that Geico commercial. I hadn't heard anything about it. He didn't promote it or anything. So we're like, oh, we got to see him on TV. So,
yeah.
How do you find your opportunities, bro? I mean, do you have an agent that brings you? How do you find your opportunities? Do you have an agent, or how do you?
I have a commercial agent that I've been with for 12 years, as long as I've been out here. Wonderful lady, Laura Sulu with the Rain Agency. She's my commercial agent. And I have theatrical agent. Theatrical agent means that they cover TV and film, even plays, because my agent is actually they have a representation here in Los Angeles, but they also have an office in New York. So I mean, it could cover some theater as well, but mostly TV and film. The DDO agency. And then I have a wonderful manager, and the manager pretty much covers, they'll cover pretty much all of it, but mostly just TV and film as well, but more on a personal level of, you know, just fine tuning your career, suggestions, you know, and I've been with her for, her name is Leah David, Bullet Management, and I've been with her for, I think maybe about, you know, time flies, maybe about 5-6 years, and met her doing a play. She saw me in a play, and it was a time where I did not have I didn't have representation as far as TV and film. I was out here without representation, and that's not good, because you can't really get into any rooms without, I mean, you can, but it's harder to get into rooms without representation. And I've gone through maybe, this is maybe my third or fourth agent since I've been in Los Angeles for the last like 11, 12 years. And I never had a manager. She was my first manager. No, I take that back. That's wrong. I did have a manager, but not one like her. And, and you just have to find the right fit. And it was, you know, I think it was set up, you know, divine, in a divine way, that I knew I got approached to about this play, and it was a wonderful play, and it, you know, tied me together with I'm actually now a member of this theater group, Versus Theater Company in Los Angeles. And when I saw read the role, I was like, this is an incredible, the play, I'm leaving that all out. It was called Cops and Friends of Cops. And
I remember you posting about that.
Yeah, and it was a wonderful play. It was a great group of guys. We're still really tight now. And 1, 2, 3, 4, I think it was five of us, four of the guys, the white guys, and then I was the only black person in the role, in the play. And the character just stood out, and it had a really good I just saw that I could do great things with it. I knew I would stand out. So I did the play, and in my program, I put in my bio that I was seeking representation, because I knew if someone, agent or someone, saw me, that I could probably, you know, work out. And she came and saw the play with her boyfriend. And you know, after the play, she was like, that guy was, you know, this is what she told me afterwards, and she was telling her boyfriend that, you know, that I was, you know, really good and really stood out. And he looked at the program, and he said, well, you should call him. And it says right here, he's looking for representation. Worked out. We had a meeting. I think probably within the first 3 minutes of the meeting, we decided that we were going to work together. And my career really took a boost once we got together, because, you know, she got me in, and I got with, she got, found me another agent, and I just start going out much more and booking much more. In fact, I think the first thing I booked with her was Ray Donovan. So that was, you know, and probably since then, probably added maybe around 15 or 20 more TV or film credits since I got with that, my manager.
That's amazing, Ro. I swear, just watching you is amazing. That is great. I've been dominating all the questions. I'm sure Nikki has questions for you, so let me let her ask you some questions. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It's like old friends catching up. So, you know, that's
what
I want to hear.
You know, I don't have to talk to him that much, so I want to hear everything he's doing.
I know. So I'm, you know, stalking your IMDb page, looking at all the things you've done, because there's a ton more that he has not mentioned. I mean, years and years and years and years of parts. So is there any one role or one show or movie that you played in that really stood out for you? Or is it just too many to?
The Ray Donovan was really a really good experience for me. I was working with John Voight, and I had the whole day to work with. It was basically just me and him working all day. And you know, he's a television, movies, and just been doing it forever. And it was almost like but in between the takes, I don't like to crowd people's space. I like to give, I can work with you, but I don't try to, think that, oh, we're going to be best friends after this, I try to keep it professional. But in between the takes, we would go back and we'd sit down, and I'd sit in my chair and he'd sit there and we'd just start talking. And I was like, you're not that big. I can talk to you. Okay. Well, okay. I'll talk to you. So we just talked about everything from theater to how he got started and the different people he came up with. And, we talked about family and, at one point he was like, I just like to, spend time with my grandkids. And I said, well, how many do you have? And he said, well, Angie has, and once he said Angie, I said, oh, you talking about Angelina Jolie? Wait, I'm sitting here talking to you about Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt's kids? Come on now, let's talk about these kids. So, that was really a good time. And again, even during the scene, just watching the way he worked, even at his age now, and I don't know what his age is now, but he's just really, he still got it. That one, Nikki, and then also the performance, the show that I can't speak of right now is also another one that it definitely was, oh my gosh, it should be really good, but it really was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Those two on camera, I can say that were really good. And I have plenty of plays that I've done that just, theaters, just live theater, to sex you on an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, I made sure when I was promoting the show too, I tagged like my favorite shows, so that way they can see you. And I'm like, Supernatural needs to see you, Ro, and Power and stuff. In that season 14, I'm like, how fitting my friend could be in the end season of Supernatural. So yes, I was tagging shows as well. So hopefully we get to see you. I'm excited and I'll be glad when you get to announce it. But we really want to see you on TV more. Stay away from the scary movies too, bro. I can't support you in those.
Yeah, I don't do those. No.
I was in it, and even when I watched it, I was still jumping,
Yeah, I was like, okay, where is Ro? I'm like, I can only watch his part. And then thankfully, unfortunately, Ro was, in and out, and then that was it.
Right.
I was like, well, damn.
Yeah,
I waited all the time, and then it was gone.
Hey, at least I didn't go in. At least I didn't go in the first 5-10 minutes. I wasn't the first one,
No, he wasn't. So that was good. Yeah, but he got snatched away pretty fast.
No,
that was
more horror.
That was fun too. That was actually, that was the first time I did a horror film, and I came, when I got there, I was just like, first thing I had to do is I got to meet whoever this person, creature thing is, and I need to, first of all, I'm not into practical jokes. I don't want any kind of, I want to meet you and know that you're a human being. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
All right, now, now I can work with that. You know, when you're working on it, it's not as scary. You know, once they add on that sound and all that stuff, that's when it gets scary.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
I was like,
but yeah, I made it through. And then, like I said, as soon as Rose part was over, I turned it off because, you know, I'm too chicken with those things.
No, that's right.
I'm sorry. I cannot do it. So you got any other questions for him, Nikki? What do you think is more your passion, Ro? Do you think is it movies or is it more the theater? Which one is the bigger passion for you?
I mean, I just like to work. So I don't really, it doesn't matter if I'm doing, it doesn't matter if I'm doing a commercial. And I've done, you know, a lot of commercials, but I mean, I'm trying to count how many commercials I've done since I've probably somewhere over 50. But I've done a lot of commercials, you know, if it's TV or film or theater, it doesn't matter. I love to work. I love to audition. My wife and I, you know, my wife, Lachey, wonderful that we were able to work together and audition when we're auditioning
exactly.
and prepping and, you know, rehearse and practice with each other. But, you know, as soon as we get done with an audition, we still, to this day, and we've both been doing it over 20 years, like, we'll still call, I'm done. Oh, man, it was so good to feel, you know, you just get a good feeling after you have a good audition.
Yeah.
At this point, I had actually had one yesterday, I think, for it's a show called Timeless on NBC. So I had an audition yesterday, and it was, how did it go? And it's just, I don't know if I'm going to get, there's so much that goes into casting that you can't really get caught up on, you know, I didn't get it, why I didn't get it, what did I do? If I go in there and do what I'm supposed to do on my audition, it's out of my hands. I kind of walk away from it and leave it alone. But I know that if the people in that room can see talent, they know if I wasn't right for that role, they know that I'm good, and I'll probably be back for something else. And I think that's part of because you get rejected so many times. It's funny. I talked to my dad, and he's like, I couldn't do what you do. I'd be an alcoholic. All that rejection, you know, when you get,
oh my gosh,
90% of it is reject. You know, you just don't get everything you go in for. So it's
right.
a lot of rejection.
Yeah, you gotta have a thick skin.
But you have to just know that eventually it's gonna happen. It's all in percentages. It's funny. Hopefully I'm going to run out of time, but my first in Chicago, when I first started auditioning for plays, once I built up the confidence and got over my being nervous for auditioning, I would audition and, you know, nothing happened. And then another play, nothing happened. I see it, and then there was one play, it was like, they had to deal with Vietnam, and it was, you know, black actors, military guys, and I was like, oh, this is perfect because I was in the military. I know this. I can do this. This is perfect for me, and I didn't get it, and I was so bummed. And I was just like, oh, maybe this is not for me. I hadn't really even done anything yet, and I was like, maybe not. And then maybe a month later, I got a call from a theater group called, it was at the Mexican Fine Arts Museum in Chicago. And they said, yeah, we'd like for you to come in and read for this play that we're doing called Yanga. And I was like, oh, wait, how'd you get my, who are you? You know, I'm like, you know, I haven't done anything. How are you calling me? What do you mean? Are you sure you got the right person? And they said, yeah, the writer, wonderful director and writer from in Chicago. He's passed on now. His name is Charles mm-hmm. Michael Moore. He said he gave us your information. He wanted you to come in and read for this. Now, this was the director for the play, the military play that I didn't get. He months later brought me in for this other play, which I did book. And you know, after that, I was able to actually work with him again on another play, and we became good friends. And he was a wonderful mentor. But it just, you know, if anyone's listening and want to, you know, pursue something like, just don't give up, because you never know who's watching you, and you know, you just continue with your pursuing your dreams, and it'll all pay off. So
it will. Doors will open that you don't even. I mean, that's what I tell people when they come to me about writing. Everybody that meets me says they have a book. You know, I thought about writing a book. I have a story and stuff, and you know, they ask me how do they get started. You just start writing. I mean, there's nothing really to it. You just got to keep writing, and even do writer's block. You know, you'll perfect your craft, but you just have to do it. You just have to dive in and do it, and that's what I tell people all the time.
I've asked that question to plenty of writers. You know, I have a lot of friends who are writers, and I've asked that question plenty times myself. Just all right, I can't, and here I am. I'm still stuck on that, you know, writers, but you know, that's okay, because you know, writers do their thing and I'll do my thing. I'm gonna try to cross over and get into the writing game as well, but you know, I gotta listen to my own
advice. We talked about that several years ago about, you know, doing writing plays and stuff. Tell us a little more about Lachey, too, your wife, because I know she's an amazing actress as well, and she's done a lot of plays too, so I think we should give her a shout out as well. So tell us a little about her.
She's last year she had a recurring role on the HBO show Insecure, which was wonderful. She also had, she recurred on Jane the Virgin, and she had a couple of episodes of Jane the Virgin, and she, there was a show on CBS, it was a lawyer, like a judge lawyer show, the show got canceled, but she recurred on there playing a judge. She just booked a commercial for Food Lion, which she's shooting next week. So congratulations, woohoo, for that.
Congratulations.
And but you know, this is our 10th year. This will mark our 10th year anniversary in April.
Happy anniversary.
And,
happy early anniversary.
As you already mentioned, I have two older kids in Houston with you there, Rolly and Tori. And then we have two younger daughters, Layla and Zoe. They're 7 and 6. And you know, it's you know, you wouldn't think that, you know, you a family life here in Los Angeles, but it's working. We have a lot of good friends who have families and in the business, and it's a good community of actors and people and out here doing the same thing, and we all just kind of try to keep everybody, you know, along, and you know, it's slowly. I have a friend of mine who Carl Seaton, who's a director, watched him, and we worked together on an episode called Front Seat Chronicles. And now the brother is he's on all kind of shows, Chicago. I don't really want to, maybe Chicago PD or Chicago Fire. He's done an episode. He's just working all over now. He's in directing, and big ups for him. I have a good friend of mine who's Joe Wilson, who's he's an executive producer on NCIS LA, and he's doing big things. I have a good friend of mine, David Shanks, who's a writer. He has a show coming out this week on Netflix called 7 Seconds. 7 Seconds.
Oh, okay. I've seen the promotions for that.
He's a writer on that. And this is a brother. Me and him started in theater, you know, 20 years ago at Black Ensemble Theater, but we keep a close knit, and you know, we're all starting to evolve and come up together. It's just, you know, just going to be a matter of time where we can all connect together.
Right.
And I'm just proud of all my friends, even my wife doing Insecure. A good friend of
ours
is the executive producer on that show. So it's just, you know, it's good to see that as we, you know, see Black Panther, I'm sure y'all already saw it, we all saw it, we love it. Just to see how everything is starting to come out, and we're gonna take over.
Yeah, I think it's our time. I think Black Panther was, you know, it solidified that it's our time. It showed Hollywood that, you know what, you can have a successful movie with an all-Black cast, and we don't have to be slaves in the movie or, you know, drug dealers or anything else. We actually can be royalty and regal, and, you know, it was a great, I'm just so proud of that movie. I really, really am.
Yeah.
And I do see that opening more doors for all of you, you know. And anybody you think who would want to come on the show and tell their story, please tell them to get in contact with me. Because we love
that.
We actually, speaking of Black Panther, our good friend Elam, who I just connected with on Instagram, I was scrolling through and I saw his book Understanding a Man. I said, I wonder if he want to be on the show. And now we've become friends, we've networked. his good friend is coming on my show, and he was actually the tailor for the costumes of Black Panther, and he'll be on the show April 7th. So we talking, you know, he's done Captain America. He did All Eyes on Me. So he's in there. You know, he's met, just like you, met a lot of different people and stuff. And I love being creative and being a writer. This seems like it just fits me more. You know, getting with people, opening up. I'm huge on promotion. Get your name out there and stuff. So you just never know who you're going to meet, like you say, Ro. I never know who's going to. And me, I just reach out to people who I think are interesting, because I'm just like, this person looks interesting.
She'll just email
me. Let
me
have them on the show.
See, that is a talent too. I mean, I'm glad that you have your gift, and that you're able to pursue it now. And it, you know, it's just sky's the limits for you. You know, look out, Oprah.
Okay.
My cousin said. Everybody keeps saying that. My cousin's like, you don't see it, but you're the next Oprah. You already got your Gail and Nikki. You're set. And I'm like, okay. So we'll speak that into this. I'm definitely trying
to
be
that great
right now.
To be that great will be fantastic.
It would. And even just having my name in the same sentence as her is, you know, that's an honor. So,
That's right. That's right. When you get there, just be like, yeah, I'm supposed to be here. I'm right here with you, Oprah.
Yeah. Oh, I will. that wasn't easy to me.
That would not be hard at all.
That would not be hard at all. No, no, no. That's why we branched off and did our own network and stuff. You know me, Ro. I have to do my own thing. And I have to have control over it. So it's exciting times.
It is.
Well, I am so
proud
of you,
Ro. Question.
I really Okay, go ahead.
One last question, and I'll make it quick. What's more cumbersome, or what's a little bit harder to do, filming a TV show or filming an actual movie, a movie part? Or is it kind of different?
That's a good question. I think maybe. Oh gosh, that's tough. You know, whenever you do TV or film, it doesn't always. You don't always shoot in chronological order. So, it's different when you do a play and, you know, you come in, you start the play, you start it, and it builds all the way to the end. So you're on that roller coaster ride emotionally. But when you're doing TV or film, you may end up shooting the last scene of the project first and then go back and do, you know, so it's a little different. You have to, and that's why I think that it helps to come from a theater background where you can already take yourself and you can eternally you can take yourself to where you need to be if you need to be toward the end, toward in the beginning, or whatever the case may be, because that's when you really need your tools to make it work and make it look authentic to me.
I can imagine because you know,
right?
I was talking to that about New York Times bestselling author. We had Bella Andre on this Thursday, and the first book I had to write it in chronological order. If I was on that chapter and I lost my thought, lost my motivation, I had to stop there. But on book two, I'm noticing that I'm able to kind of do it like you say, Ro. Wait, I want this at the end, so let me write the end over here and let me keep that over there,
mm-hmm.
and I'll come back to that. But I imagine if you're acting, it's like with your character evolves, you know, so you have to start off with the end and then you'll go back to an earlier one. And what if your character
right.
is totally different, you know? So I imagine that's a lot of work.
Yeah, that is.
You know, you progress with the character.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to go back and forth.
Yeah.
Right.
In fact, keep talking about it reminds me of like the movie The Village, but the show that I can't speak of yet, but that was actually the case in that show where I was shooting things out of order, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and it caused for, you know, emotions and things like that. So I had to really dig deep on my own to get
mm-hmm.
to those certain places. So I would say that's, you know, doing those are a little bit more challenging. I wouldn't say difficult, but just more challenging than when you're doing theater, especially with theater. I mean, you're reading the play. You have you sit around the table and have discussions
mm-hmm.
before you even start rehearsing, and you have to get on
mm-hmm.
your feet, and then you start blocking the play, and you know this all happens before you can even bring in the audience. So I think as tough as theater can be, as far as just getting in front of live in front of people, it's much
mm-hmm.
to me. It's much more easier in a way, you know, because
it's more seamless.
You,
it seems like because
yeah.
you're doing
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's like a repetitive
from beginning to
every
end.
Day
mm-hmm.
from beginning
mm-hmm.
to end, as opposed to like
mm-hmm.
you say shooting those different scenes out of order. How do you do that though? I mean, do they tell you ahead? Okay, we're shooting this, so you need to know your lines for that day. I mean, what is your process?
Yeah, they'll give you a schedule of when you know what scenes you'll be shooting, you know, which day, so you kind of can get mentally prepared. You know, sometimes it may be like a day or two before,
mm-hmm.
but you know, you do get a schedule of, but you should already be on top of as far as lines and things like that. You should better have all that stuff ready. I mean, I do. I'm not one to try and slow up production of anything, so I just try to be 100% ready every time I get step on that the set.
Do you ever improvise in your scenes, like switch up the lines a little bit?
there's always a script supervisor there, you know, who's
mm-hmm.
Making sure trying to, and you want to respect the writers as you're a writer yourself. You always
mm-hmm.
want to respect the writers, what they put on paper. Sometimes, I mean, something may come out, wrong, or you may try different things, but as long as they don't, I may try something as long as I'm like, okay, did they correct? Oh, you're not correcting me? Okay, all right, I like that too, and I'll just do that. But you know, for the most part, there may be somebody there to just try and make sure that you stay true to what the writer put on paper.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's cool, though. That's good. And I think about that, writing stuff and even with the book and everything else, because that's one of the goals is we do want the book to either be a series, you know, so Netflix, if you're listening, pick up the book, turn it into something. I mean, HBO, it can become a series like Game of Thrones, whatever. But
right.
I don't change up my vision, though. That's my
right.
worry when I tell
That's
Nikki
it.
That.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, don't go and take my book and rip it apart and everything else, because it's been a lot of hard work. I don't get any sleep.
Yeah.
I told Nikki I'm on the writer's diet right now. I'm so busy writing, promoting, and stuff, I forget to eat. So I've lost 20 pounds since October.
Look,
I'm probably
going to
lose a lot more.
Right. That's a new diet plan. Just right.
Yeah.
You know.
Uh-huh. That's the thing. I need to start writing.
Gotta get up at night. I need to start writing.
I do. I mean, I'll just get lost in my characters. And when I first started, though, it was harder because I didn't. You know, I had this idea, but I guess I still wasn't really like, I really didn't believe in this talent. You know, it's something that has always come easy to me. So I was just like, didn't really pay attention to it. But now that, you know, I'm more seasoned as a writer and stuff, it's like I can't wait to dive back into my characters. And, book one, I have to make myself stay away from that book because I get more ideas and I want to go back and change it. I'm like, leave it alone. Mm-hmm. Let it come out March 10th because if I can keep messing with it, I'll mess with it for the rest of the year.
Right. Yeah.
You just messing with it.
Use that for the next one.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's a good point, Mara. Because even when if I do something, and you know, you see yourself on TV, and some people I've heard, I know some actors that don't like to watch themselves. I do like to watch myself because I'm like, okay, I could have done this. I could have done that. Okay. Now, I just use that as a learning tool. Like, I listen to the radio show afterwards
and I'm like, oh, okay. Stop saying this word so much and, you know, improve this and there's a pause here. But no, like you say, I don't mind going back and listening to myself and I'm glad,
that's how you get better.
We have editing control this time because, you know, last week, we had somebody snoring on the phone in the middle of our show. So now, at least with my own show, I'm able to edit out bloopers. I mean, there's one show where, you know, I thought I was on mute and I'm yelling at my kids. And no, I was not on mute. So
I was like, I'm texting. They heard that.
Yeah, she texted. We heard that. And I said, I think I told her to shut up and get out and close the door or something.
Right.
And so, yeah,
hilarious.
That's funny. Yeah.
Hilarious.
So, yeah. Ro, I don't know if you're still up to it or you have time, but I extended the show, and what we do is we do our hot topics, and we're going to be going into that now. Would love to get your opinion on it before you leave, because I know you got to go and get some rest. But our hot topic right today, I'll let Nikki introduce it, and we'll go from there. Let her do some talking.
Okay.
Should broke guys date when they're struggling and broke? Should guys date?
Yes.
Sorry, I said that backwards. Should guys date when they're struggling and broke? That's the hot topic.
That's our hot topic today. Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts on that, Ro?
Oh, okay. I'm going now. Okay. Let's see. Should guys date when they're struggling and broke? Yes, I believe so. I remember being struggling and broke, but I think you should go within your guidelines. I mean, you know, I don't think you should be, you know, I don't think you should make it like a everyday kind of thing. But I mean, I put it this way, I feel like if a woman happens to have interest in someone and he's, you know, maybe not where he is going to be eventually in his career, but is trying to do his best and able to maybe even, you know, it could be a lunch or something like that or coffee. I mean, I think that, if a woman finds him interesting, I think, yeah, he should still try to date, I think.
Because you
can't just, for one, you can't just be with someone just who, you know, because they're successful. You got to see them at their ground, who they are, you know, just without anything. And if you have interest or you like that person for just who they are, then yeah, I think you should. And then that's how you can really find a true mate, you know, without all the, you know, hoopla and everything like that, you know.
You can see who really likes you, but just who you are.
Yeah, I was telling Nikki that for me it would be a case by case basis. It's what is your broke and struggling? Okay, we all go through that period where we're struggling and we're trying to get somewhere. Are you a victim and this is your norm, and you think you're going to come and live off of me? Then no, that's not going to work. And you can figure that out with people. But you know, I would not go into a dating thing and say, oh, he has to have this, he has to have that. That's not it. You know, we've got a vibe. It's more about how you treat me than it is about your money. I have my own money, so right. I'm not worried about that. But it's about how you treat me and how are you going to be in the relationship. And one of the comments on Instagram, Charles Roseman said yes, because that is when women date the hardest, when they broke and struggling. Women be looking for that help factor and not love. So if it's good for a woman, then yes, a man should also date when he's broke and struggling as well. What do you think, Nikki?
And so I said I was going to save my comments for the show, because men have been doing this, dating broke and struggling, for years. That's what we have a lot of. And women do it too, I can't say. But there's a lot of men who play off of the emotions of women and make them think that, oh, yeah, I love you, I like you, I love hanging out with you, as they're shoving food in their mouth, as they're drinking the people's wine or their, you know, tea or whatever it is. Man, I sure don't have enough gas money. Let me give it to you. As they're putting money in their pocket, you know, stuff like that. So that's the part that upsets me, because then they use the women, and then the women think this is a normal thing, and then they leave that woman, go to another one, and they think that this is supposed to happen with everybody that they meet, you know, every woman that they meet is supposed to do what this last one did. No, mm-hmm. That is not happening. But there's so many people out there that will allow that, and I'm just not one of them. So.
Well, we have another comment, and Elam's on the line too, Nikki, so we'll bring him in just a minute. He wants to comment. But on Facebook, Emmanuel Washington said, technically no, but the law of attraction reminds me to stay open and allow. So that's totally opposite from the other one, who was like, yeah, you know, you broke women been doing it, so we can do it too. I don't see it like that. Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for somebody as a come up, then I don't know how that's going to last.
No, that's not it. No, you can't.
No, there's no substitute to that.
No, don't use people, because they wouldn't want nobody to do that to them, is my thing. You know, I'm not going to do it for them.
And there's different, you know, isn't it more relative too? I mean, kind of, what is your definition of broke as well? People's definition of broke and struggling is very different. He could be having two jobs and, you know, making a really good income, and somebody could see that as somebody broke and struggling. And another woman would see that as he's a hard worker, you know, he's bringing in a consistent income or whatever else. So I think that plays a part in it as well. And like I said, if that is just a factor, you probably shouldn't be dating, in my opinion, because it's just not going to last. It's not going to have any substance to it. And it's already a hot mess out there in the dating world anyway. So and then you add on, are you broke and struggling, then I can't date you. That's crazy. So I guess let's hear what Elon has to say.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Good morning.
Hello.
Elam. Welcome. Hi,
Elam.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, look, you said I read that meme. I said, oh, no. and I'm actually in the car with a brother of mine, Robert Forrest. And so we were both looking at that. And his first initial comment was, oh, no, he needs to be going and getting his own stuff together. And
exactly.
And I do agree with that as well. But the only thing I want to caution and say that broke is really a mind state, you know. And I don't know which one of you just made the comment that, you know, what is something along the lines of like, what really is broke? Is it that, you know, because you could have two jobs and be struggling, but your mind state is rich and you're eventually going to get there, and you have that journey that you're on. And a lot of ladies have to recognize that if you get on with the journey with him and help him and work alongside of him, at the end of the day, you guys are going to be doing extremely well above and beyond those people who just go run out and gold digging type situation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you want to take a look at that person's state of mind. So I would just kind of caveat to that to say, you know, should a man be dating if he's broken the mind? Absolutely not. You need to go sit down, get all that together, you know, and then come back. But somebody's pockets could be a little rough for a moment, but only because that's the journey that God's taken them through to mold them and crystallize them into the person that they're supposed to be.
Exactly. Totally
exactly.
Agree.
Yeah,
and Elam,
I get that.
Meet Rolando Boyce. He's our special guest today. He's an actor. Ro, this is Elam. I was telling you about his book, Understanding a Man.
What's going on, Lo? I heard you speaking earlier, so, you know, much success to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. And the great. I agree with you with your comment as well. That was dead on.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it. Absolutely. Yeah, but hey, ladies, don't let them use you. Don't let them use you. Because we'll do it. You know, I mean, you got people, predators everywhere. You're gonna get used.
Yeah, yeah.
You are accountable for that. You can say he used me. Mm-hmm. Well. What did he use? Your resources.
Yeah.
Who gave up the resources?
Right.
You.
That's right.
I mean, you did it. Or you let
mm-hmm.
him. Yeah, you let him do it. So come on
mm-hmm.
now. Accept the accountability. And if it happened
yep.
to you more than once, let's look in the mirror. Who's the problem
yes.
here?
Yes.
That's
you.
Right.
You know?
I agree.
What city are you
started.
In?
He's
what
in
city
I'm in Atlanta.
He's in
Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, so yeah. You know.
Yeah, they everywhere though. I'm from Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
right now we driving out here in South Carolina in the sticks. Guess what? They out here too. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
No, they everywhere.
Yeah, they are. I mean, but I really feel too. Once again, I don't think that you should go into a relationship if that's your basis. You're trying to get with somebody as a come up. It's not going to last.
No.
You know, there's no substance to that, and that's not the kind of conversations I need to get to know who you are as a person. Now, if like I said, if he has a victim mentality and he thinks he's going to live off of me, and he's like, oh, she's about to blow up, let me get with her. You can see right through those fools. So no, that's
mm-hmm.
not. Don't go that route. You know, but if he's truly out there and he's working, he's doing what he loves, hardworking man or whatever else, I don't see that should be an issue. So like I said,
right.
It's everybody's definition of broke is different.
Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned last week, I had a conversation with a gentleman and he was saying, I can't say you, I don't know you that well to say you, but most women won't date the brother that works at McDonald's. And I was like, well, let's backtrack. Why are you working at McDonald's? Are you working at McDonald's because
mm-hmm.
that's just what you want to do and you don't want to do anything else? You want to stay fry guy and hamburger flipper for the rest of your life? Or, you know, you went through a bad batch and you know, this is your starting point and you want to, you know, I just need to get some money in my pocket right now. And then,
exactly.
You know, then you'll move forward. But if
yeah.
you just want to
and if you got a plan,
McDonald's,
that's free meals at McDonald's.
Yeah.
I mean, I would have no problem with that.
I don't like McDonald's. I don't want to eat at McDonald's.
I will. I'd be like, okay, do you have a plan? Well, we might can do this, okay? Let me get some free meals.
And give me some fries.
Pizza, do it. Yeah. Pizza.
Yeah.
Anybody
he has
else
to be a pizza guy.
Huge pizza fan.
He loves pizza. Uh-huh.
What were you going to say, Ro?
I said, no, I just said, and yeah, they can work out, but just bring me some fries when you get off, too. You know, just.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, make sure you're contributing to the household now, and we can work this out.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely need to contribute.
I think that's what, you know, all these preconceived notions about dating and what you're supposed to be, who you're supposed to be dating and who you should be looking for and stuff, I don't see that it should have any stipulations on it, because
mm-hmm.
you know, you just you never know who is for you and what's for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Can I throw something in real quick? Actually, last night I was on a panel discussion, and that same statement came up because one of the guys in the audience was, you know, he was from Florida, and he had recently come to Atlanta, and he was like, the reason why he came to Atlanta, because, you know, he wanted to see, you know, he's heard all these things about Atlanta, blah, blah, blah. And so he was talking about what are good icebreakers to use when you're approaching a woman, because you either have this mm-hmm. woman that's after, you know, the balling status guy, or the woman who's like, what, you know, too far down. So he's kind of like, okay, I don't know how really to come. And you know, and they were talking about should dinner and a movie be the first thing or whatever. So this is what we were speaking about following your passion. Because I think mm-hmm. that, again, we overcomplicate this whole dating thing. Oh, you got to dress like this, look like this,
mm-hmm.
wear this, smell
mm-hmm.
this, go after this guy, that guy, checklist, this, that, and the third. And one of the things that I do, and I don't want to steal any moment of anybody else who was on here, but I just want to share that one of the things that I do say in my manual is that it's actually a lot more basic than we think, and we keep overcomplicating
mm-hmm.
this. And so here's the thing. If you follow your passion, then you're going to automatically run into the right person. Because here's
mm-hmm.
the thing, you're satisfying, you know, I think like following your passion and doing what you're supposed to, what God called you to do here on this earth, is literally like paying rent back to God for him making you, right? So in the process of you following your passion and doing what you're supposed to do, then by definition, from a biblical perspective, he's going to send you your blessing. Right. So then you'll be, you know, like one of the guys there, he was a chef. Right. So while you chefing. Right. And then you end up meeting another chef lady. And now, y'all are kicking in and become friends. And y'all don't even do dinner in a movie for another 2-3 months. You know what I'm saying? Because
uh-huh.
you're
mm-hmm.
focused on building something and becoming friends, and you have a common passion, and now it's not difficult to have a conversation or icebreaker, if you will, because every time y'all speak, you're speaking the same language. Right? And not
right.
saying that you're going to always get with somebody that's in your industry or whatever, because I could be following my passion, and then I go to the Quick Trip, and I reach for the daggone Almond Joy, and now I run into somebody, and now, we, you know, she could be a teacher, and I could be a public speaker. You know what I'm saying? But I'm doing what I was headed to a public speaking event, and now, you know, I run into somebody. You see what I'm saying? So
y'all
follow
like
our passion.
Almond Joy.
That's what I'm saying.
Like
there you go.
Yeah. There you go.
You know,
there you go.
And
I don't
and we're not even in
the place, you know? And we both like pizza. It's like, you know,
bring
me pizza.
And guess what?
Anybody who's interested in dating me, if you say I'm going to send you a pizza, I will listen to what you have to say. Believe me.
Yeah, there it is. There it is. And here's the funny part. On top of that, you're headed in your direction of, you know, you're flowing in your passion, or maybe you're headed to do an event for your passion or whatever. And then you
mm-hmm.
end the pizza place, and then you run into somebody. You see what I'm saying? So what were you doing? You were following your passion, doing your work, and then the guy shows up. That's but
mm-hmm.
we're thinking in our minds, no, it can't work like that. No, I got to be this size, or I got to
mm-hmm.
look like this. Nah, homie, it's not like that.
I agree.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's just way too many expectations on it. I just don't think you should put expectations on it.
Stressful.
I think you should just go with the flow.
Yeah, just
go with the flow. You meet people.
I meet people
all the time. If we vibe, we vibe. If we don't, we don't. You know, it's just I'm not going into that like, okay, what are you doing? Where you been? You have a house. You have a, you know, it's like, no, because you don't even know if you really are interested in that person. But
uh-huh.
you've wasted time interviewing this person, and you might not even be attracted to them.
Right.
True.
That was a good point. That was a really good point, though. I can attest to that. I met my wife, you know, on set. You know, we're both pursuing our passion, and you know, it just worked out. I mean, we just ended up talking, and we were actually in a long distance relationship for months, actually, maybe close to a year. Actually, I think maybe at least a year. But you know, we just had a good vibe, a good bond, and
and it just went on from there. So I think it does. Like you said, if you're just doing what you're supposed to be doing, I think you'll run into, you know, the people that you're that's supposed to be made, you know, made for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, she tells me that all the time. I don't think I'm destined to be with anybody anytime soon. I assure y'all of that, because now I've got way too much going on and I'm all over the place and flaky and inconsistent.
You never
know.
I'll
get somebody as flaky as
Nikki. You never know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
But no, I think
and, you know, another thing is that, you know, you sometimes when people are looking for someone, that's when you're not finding anyone. It's when you're not looking. That's when you find.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what goes back to the brother's comment. Just keep doing what you know, do your passion, do what you're supposed to be doing, and it'll come. You know, when you're just looking for something, it's just like, you'll never find it.
Right. Yeah. So that's how it's supposed to happen. You know, you're just supposed to connect. I mean, and it's not like you say going out here and saying, okay, I've got this checklist. Here's this checklist. Do you meet all of this in order to get my time? And another thing,
ooh,
too, what I want to say as well.
Yeah,
but you know what? A lot of, and I'm not saying this to anger my sisters. I'm really not. But you know what?
Yeah.
You need to look at what you bring to the table as well.
Exactly.
Because sometimes the caliber of man that you want, you're not on that level. You need to get your credit, your finances together, and he's not going to look at you. So, you know, it starts with you initially.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you at?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go from there. Because, like I said, you could sit up here, you on welfare, and you're out here thinking you're going to go and get, you know, a executive man who travels or whatever else. What are you bringing to the table? You've got to bring
something too. Ooh, and then here's the thing. You go get that executive man, right? Okay, you grab him up, right? You put that thing on him. Okay, now y'all dating, right? Now, five, 10 years later, let's say y'all get married or whatever case it be. All of a sudden, what phrase do you hear? I'm not happy. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because that executive man travels. Here you are. You're a quality time love person, right? But that executive man is on the move. You want quality time, but he on the road. Right? So now you like, now you got the White House and the picket fence and all that and the dog and three kids, and you mad. Why? Because you weren't even ready for that type of person.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You,
not
you
even
got,
that,
you actually got what you wanted. Yeah, you weren't ready for it.
Yeah.
You weren't ready.
But not even that, Elam. You'll get that woman that wants that, and the guy travels. Okay, you may be a quality time person. He's like, hey, you know, why don't you take a little time if you work? Take a little time off. You can travel with me. They don't want to do that. So, of course, you're going to be unhappy.
Yep.
You're not compromising. If you tell me that, I'm like, sure, where are we going? Okay, let me take some time off. Or if I'm not working, it's like, yeah, I'm going with you. You want me to be with you, and we're going to be doing this, and, hey, I'm flying out with you. But people don't do, they don't think that way. It's always about them. They're selfish. They want what they want. And they, like you said, and they get that list, but that list is not complete. And if you're not happy with yourself, it don't matter what your list say.
Oh, I was just about to say that. Lord have mercy. Say that again. You need to understand that one right there.
Yeah.
You ain't never even found yourself, but you want somebody else to make you happy. You make yourself happy. It's not your spouse's responsibility to make you happy. They're supposed to complement the happiness that you already have. So if you're walking around, anybody listening, if you're walking around talking about you not happy, you're not happy because of you. Not because of that other person. That's your job, to make yourself happy first. And so while you in your singlehood, you should be focused on maximizing your happy. Then you can provide happiness for somebody else. And if that person is coming up short, you still got enough in your tank to keep you happy while y'all going through rough patches and stuff like that. But it's not my job to wake up and make you happy all day, and vice versa.
It's
true. So we have discussed that, I mean, but that, you know, I think we can talk about this and talk about this and talk about this, and people still won't get it. They still won't. They still won't understand. There's still those people, those women out there that are still date men for their pocketbooks, just like our hot topic last week about sugar daddies. So, I don't know.
Sugar daddies, oh, Lord. Do they still use that term, sugar daddies? That's like,
cool. They haven't, they've updated it. They have sugar daddies and sugar babies now. When they say that, I think of the candy.
Wow. Well, yeah. Yeah, me too. Yeah. What's a sugar baby? I'm sorry, please hit me the
sugar
game.
Sugar baby is it's a younger girl in their 20s or younger that date older men. So they have he is the sugar daddy, she is the sugar baby, and they're being taken care of by these well-off men. So we found the article last week that said they were millionaires. They're millionaires, billionaires, men with lots of money. And they want a specific thing. They have a website. Women go on there. They have profiles, and they date these men off the profile. And I've seen this before on 2020. Even that there's women out there that they've never even met these men. They just have conversations with them on the phone, chat, and their bank accounts are being filled with money. Their school is being paid for. They have a car.
That's what
they're
a high price hoe.
Yeah.
That's what they are. They're high price hoes.
Or they're somebody's farm candy, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we were talking about last week. But I was like, but what's the difference, though? So what's the difference between that, what those ladies are doing, dating somebody for money versus dating with these expectations? You know, what's the difference? Because that was my argument. When you date, and you have these expectations of what you want from this person, they're unrealistic. You may or may not get them. You still go out and you want that man to spend money on you and buy you things when you're dating. Okay, so at the very and you want this perfect relationship, but then he goes and finds somebody else and he cheats and or he all break up and he goes a separate way and finds somebody else. But this relationship, I'm doing in quotation marks, they know what they're going into. You know,
I mean,
that he wants somebody cute.
I respect the fact that at least they have set an expectation.
Yeah.
And that's what they're going after. You know, but at the end of the day, they are still what they are. And I think that sometimes, I think people like that, in my opinion, I always look at it as like your life is like a movie, right? And inside of your movie, you're going to have different actors and actresses and all, you know, extras or whatever that's all around. And that's all noise.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it could be distracting because here you are, a God-fearing woman, and you have, like, your expectations. And then you go online or you look at a show and you see somebody who is a sugar baby. And you're just like, how is she taken care of? And I'm over here, you know, living, breathing the word and all this and that. And that's the noise. That's kind of like a distraction in your movie. You just run your race, you know what I'm saying? Because
right.
You're going to have people out there that are going to be winning doing wrong. And they have a purpose in your life to win doing wrong, to distract you, to make you do wrong. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So sometimes I don't even go into breaking those people down because I'm like, oh, that's the noise in life, right?
Uh-huh.
That you're supposed to just experience and see. But you just keep down your path, again, of what you're supposed to do and you know, just make sure your expectations are in line. You know I kind of talk about the 80-20 rule. You don't have, like, these crazy expectations that's, like, taking you totally off the map. You 5'1", but you want to date a 6-foot-tall man. Okay, you just took out 83% of the people on the planet, you know, and you trying to figure out why you can't find a man. Well, maybe you take somebody who's 5'5". You know what I'm saying? How about that? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So just make sure that your expectations are still in line and correct. So I don't know if I answered your question, but, you know, sometimes people, you don't even want to look too deep because they're high-priced hoes.
Yeah.
Why try to figure out why is that okay? It's not okay. Keep it moving.
Yeah. So we'll see what hot topics we come up with to entertain you guys next week.
You caught me at the right time. We on the road, headed up South Carolina. You know, we're headed to an event now, and I'm like, oh, I got nothing but time.
Right. Mar? Mara?
Oh, my God. I have been talking on mute this whole time. No wonder Ro didn't answer me. And no wonder nobody didn't answer me. Because I was like, hey, Ro, are you still there? Do you have something to say? I'm like, okay, maybe he hung up. I've been on mute this whole time talking. I said,
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord. Wow. I got to get it together. So it would not be my show if there was something, not something like this that happened. Okay, so what I was saying when I was on mute is, Ro, I was asking you, did you have any other comments about that? How did you feel about what Nikki's question was?
No, I mean, I think he covered it really pretty well. I mean, I thought that was really that was good. I mean, that's all I could say is that was good. I don't need to say any more. I mean, I think he covered it really well.
I agree. So I'm thinking now, we have extended the show an hour and a half. That's another thing I said while I was on mute. It's been really good. Ro, we got to learn about all your endeavors, everything that you're doing. Please, please, please keep me updated on everything that's going on. You know, I check in periodically with you anyway. If you go too long and I don't hear from you or I don't see a post on Facebook about what
absolutely.
You and Lachey are doing. So
absolutely.
definitely. And when you can announce your new endeavor, come back on here for at least 10, 15 minutes and tell everybody about it so that they can tune into it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Will do.
Yeah.
I appreciate you. Thanks so much, Mara. And all the
thank
best to you. You and Nikki.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You so much.
My pleasure.
All right, Nikki. Well, I guess we can wrap up the show now. We've had a great, great show. We really look forward to this. Elam, can't thank you enough for calling in. I'm so glad that you did call in on that hot topic. That's why I tagged you. I was like, I was hoping you would call in.
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me. And, Lo, much success to you. Don't forget the little people when you blow up. I heard you talking earlier about, I guess you have a secret project on deck. So, hey, yeah, keep us in the loop.
Yeah,
man.
I do.
I love to.
I will.
Will do.
You know,
I appreciate it. Nice meeting you, bro.
Absolutely. You too.
Okay, well, we're going to close for today. Nikki, you have any closing comments? I think we've made all our announcements.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, just keep tuning in. I have my own network. All you have to do really is, you know, I'm a brand, Mara Pros. So really, I don't even give out my social media anymore because if you type in Mara Pros, I'm the only one that comes up, thankfully. So I would say just really stay on top of my social media. That tells you exactly everything that I have coming up. This year alone, I'm dropping 5 books. 3 of them are mine, and 2 are other outside authors. So I'm busy. So we have a lot of things. I have a lot of things coming up. And, you know, I'm blessed that we have this show. I'm blessed that Nikki just, you know, has been my best friend for over 30 years and just is going in this journey with me because I just kind of pulled her in, didn't ask her. I'm like, oh, you're my co-host. Oh, Nikki, you know what? You're my director of business in Mara Pros. I'm putting you on my board in the publishing side. Nikki, I want to start a media side. Let's think about that, you know, so it's wonderful that you have somebody who can blow and go with you as much as I do because I change like all the time. This was an impulsive move this week. I just decided this week that, hey, I need my own network. So I did it.
Yeah.
There you go.
So. And I'm like, okay.
So definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But don't you help me too. You
let's
me
do it this way.
Yeah. You keep me, you know, balanced. So that's good. But I want everybody to please follow Rolando Boyce. He has done so much, and he's done so much he's forgotten about it.
Check out his IMDb page.
Yes. Yeah. And definitely, you know, stay tuned for when he comes back. Also, with Elam, let's go ahead and announce April. April is really going to be a month of Elam. We're making him our book club, book selection from my book club. of the month.
Yes.
And every week, and Elam's going to come on, and he is going to be our hot topic. We're going to take a chapter of his book, and we're going to talk about that. And we want you to call in, ask your questions, definitely get his book and read it so that you can ask some, you know, really good questions. Don't just get on here asking anything. But definitely April, I'm excited about that because I think it's going to be a really, really great month. I love Elam's book. Everybody who reads it really just, he just touches on so many topics and he just hits it. He gets it, you know, and it's, I think April is going to be really, really great.
Yeah.
What do you think, Elam?
Look, I'm looking forward to it. Look, let's just go on and fast forward now. Y'all want to pick? Y'all want to start with chapter one now? Come on.
We just need to skip over the month of March and get to Elam's month because it's
let's go.
You know, Elam's April, because I'm looking forward to that because it's going to be a different way that we've done the show and taking us in a different direction. So I'm really looking forward to that. Plus, we have some really interesting people coming up. And thank you, Elam, for the connections that you have given me, like with Carl Taylor on Black Panther. He is going to be on April 7th, so I'm so excited about that. And there's a lot of other people that Elam has connected me to that I want to have on the show. So, you know, just stay with us. We have a lot of interesting people coming up. Next weekend, we have John McIntyre. He is a really big financial advisor in Charlotte. Andre Blaylock sent him to me. He's going to be teaching us how to invest, especially specifically women. How do you start? You know, because a lot of women, they don't really, they shy away from investing and don't really understand it and stuff. But he's going to break it down to where it's in more simple terms and tell us how to get started with that. So that'll be a great conversation next weekend. And then right now we don't know what the hot topic will be, but it'll be another hot topic to drum up some people and, you know, get under your skin and get the comments. That's the whole point of the hot topic is, you know, to irritate you to the point where you want to say something. We have somebody else on the line, Nikki. Do they have a question? Oh, no, they hung up now. Okay, well, never mind. Okay, so anyway, thank you again, Ro. I'm so proud of you.
You
can't say that enough. Tell your wife hello.
I want to say, hey, Mara, you know who that was who just called there, hung up.
I'm sorry. Dad, bring that up.
Oh my God!
Talked about my stalker. Unfortunately, I caught one on the show, and he was calling all the time. And he told the whole world that he was obsessed with me and wanted to marry me. And he sent me poems that just I don't know. Anyway, we had to end up just blocking him and taking out of the picture. But that's what Elam's talking about. He called in during Elam's show and we were asking, he's supposed to be asking questions and stuff, but instead he's just giving a monologue about you know, how he's trying to get himself together so that he can marry me.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, that
that's what I'm saying. Wow.
Yeah, Nikki was like, okay.
Okay. Who is this?
So hopefully, I guess that kind of comes with it, though. You know, I get so many inbox messages. I do want to say, too, if you are following me on social media, and just because I am single does not mean that, you know what, my author page is a hookup page. Please don't send those messages to me anymore, okay? Really, really, really. I am not looking to hook up off of my social media. My social media is strictly for Mara Prose Publishing. If you're not interested in my writing and what I'm doing, then don't send me a message because I'm not going to respond and I'm not going to meet up with you. I just want to put that out there. It's very annoying. So with that being said, any other closing comments? I know we keep going on and on and on. We could go on forever.
No.
I mean, this has been such a fun conversation, Ro. I knew having you on here was going to be great. I'm so glad you were the first one on my new network. So you're going to be doing big things, and I'm excited for you.
I appreciate it. I'll be back. I'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, please. And please send my love to Tori and Lil Rolly too. I was keeping in touch with Lil Rolly for the longest, and then we just kind of lost touch. And then the last thing I heard, I think he was starting to write, wasn't he?
He is. So I would definitely pass it on. He might,
So tell him he might want to come on and talk about his endeavors.
Exactly. I sure will. They might be listening.
Hello to y'all if you are. So I still think of them as little babies. I can't picture them just growing up. It seems like time has just flown by.
I know. You keep saying Lil Rolly. He's 26 now.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. We will start closing our show.
I appreciate you having me. Yeah, I'll let you finish up. But I thank you all again. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes, and go get some sleep.
Go get some rest, Ro. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
So, Nikki and I just want to thank everybody for tuning in today. This has been a really fun show. We've had fun with the topics. Thank you, Elam, for calling in. So grateful for all your support, all the help that you're networking. We do want to send another shout-out to 4E Media Group. We will keep in touch with you. We thank you. And so grateful that you gave us the skills so that we could branch out on our own and have our own radio show on our own network.
Right.
Any questions?
Right. No, I just want everyone to have a blessed weekend and be safe.
Yes. And tune in next week, 9 a.m. Central, Prozy's Corner. Have a good one.